This morning was a good morning for a little extra time to greet each other, right? I feel like the question is, are you safe? You know, are you okay? How you doing? Monday night, Charity went out to do Christmas shopping, and I did my dad duties of trying to get the kids to bed on time, and Charity was out late, and the power kept flicking on and off, and many of you probably experienced something similar. And finally, I just said, hey, I know this fire's kind of far away. I'm going to go to bed. And so I get up into the room, and I start kind of getting ready for bed, and I lay down, and I'm getting sleepy, and Charity comes kind of like rushing up the stairs, and she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm tired. And she's like, you need to get out of bed. Like, this fire is close. And I was like, no, it's going to be okay. And we went outside, and my neighbor took this picture. My neighbor Duke took this of the glow that you could see from our neighborhood. And so maybe you saw this glow. Maybe yours was close. Maybe yours wasn't. But when we began going, we saw this outside, and we'd come back in, and we came back out, and we began packing what we thought was irreplaceable. And I don't know how many of you did that too, but you start kind of throwing these bags together, and you get your cars ready, and we were in and out, and we were looking at our phone battery, and we were wondering, okay, is it going to make it? Because we don't have enough power. We don't got this, and we don't have that, and we don't have any internet. I had a friend in the Bay Area who stayed up till 3 a.m. with me, and he was texting me updates and trying to keep me in the loop and sending me links and just everything. And it felt like everyone in our community just went through this variety of emotions. We had neighbors climbing on their roofs. The day after I was driving, I went up to Ventura College and just took a picture with the baseball field and looking at all of the smoke and just how engulfed it was. And I tried to go up Day Road and seeing what's going on and fire trucks and everything that was happening. And then we were here at church, thank God the only damage that we know of at this point was a tree that fell. We had a tree that just kind of fell right out there. So if you're looking to buy a palm tree, we're selling one for 50% off. We're going to list it on Craigslist soon. But the crazy thing is I can share a little bit about my fire story, but every single one of you shared that story too. You had friends who were calling you, are you safe? Are you okay? You probably got the text messages that came throughout the week as people saw on the news, the Facebook messages, the Instagram posts. Are you safe? It seemed like was the question of the week. And maybe you were like me and you met neighbors who you never met before. Maybe you reconnected with neighbors who you hadn't talked to in years. But for some reason, this disaster brought us together and it makes our community stronger. And we gather here this morning and it makes us stronger. And for some of you, you haven't darkened the door of a church in a long time. And I just want to be the first person to say, if you haven't heard it yet, we are so glad that you're here. You are in the right place this morning because this is where we need to be. We need to be gathering here together. And our church, we're all about helping people find and follow Jesus. And we want to walk with you along that path, and we want to be here to help you and be whatever help that we can. This was a rough week, and my wife and I were talking about it, and it seemed like it was just so rough emotionally. It wasn't like physically rough, but just that emotional drain. And also, too, if we can figure out how to get Ready Ventura to work like quicker, so I'm not like constantly refreshing it on my phone, I'm like, okay, are we safe? Are we safe? Are we safe? Are we safe? What's going on? But this morning, if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open to Luke chapter 2 with me. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. And if you're thinking, I didn't meet a guy named Luke this morning, don't worry, it's okay. We're going to talk about who he is in the Bible. Luke is one of the four gospel accounts of Jesus' life. It's actually the longest gospel account. The Gospel of Luke is written to a non-Jewish person. So if you're not a Jew, this book was written for you. And it was written so that you could learn about the truth of Jesus Christ. And today we're in the third week of a series we're doing titled Advent. And we've been studying these words up here. And today it seems no coincidence that we're on the word joy. It's no coincidence that God has us on this passage talking about joy. Advent, it actually comes from the Latin root word to mean coming. It's an inward preparation. It's the preparation of the arrival of something. And this time in the Advent season, we've invited our church to be in awe and wonder at the coming of Jesus Christ. We've invited each and every one of us to slow down. And man, it's so interesting how God slowed so many of us down this week. And we had so much more time to think about what's important and what's really worth living for. And today, if it's your first time with us, I want to invite you to join us in that. I want to invite you to join in the slowing down, to experience the wonder, beauty, and glory of Christmas. And for the next couple weeks, to remember God and His Word and to focus on Him. This week, we lit the third candle on the Advent, in the Advent candles, and it's the joy candle. It's also known as the shepherd's candle. And I want to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." Let's stop the story right there. We have a scene change. It started in verse 8. It says, and. This is a clue that something is going to change. What was happening is that Jesus had just been born. And now there were shepherds who were out in the fields. They were in proximity to Bethlehem. It's one of those situations that I found myself in this week. I was in proximity to the fire. I was close enough, but not that close. And for these shepherds, they were in proximity to the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. See, they were close enough, but they weren't too close. They hadn't heard about it yet. And so God sends an angel to them. Now, I just want you to imagine if you were a shepherd with me. Imagine if you lived 2,000 years ago. You're laying up at night. You're not watching Netflix. You're not binging your favorite show. And you're just kind of laying out in a field looking at the stars. You would have been very good, my guess is, at astronomy, because you would have watched the stars pass through the night sky. Just think, it's unpolluted. It's not like LA. There's no light pollution. It's not like Las Vegas. You're out just staring at the beauty, and all of a sudden, an angel comes and he starts shining. This great light shines and you're like, uh-oh. I mean, just imagine the fear of what happens to these men who are there. Earlier this year, my wife and I had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go to Israel. And we visited Bethlehem and we went to an area that's called the Shepherd's Field. Here's a picture of it. And this is an area where shepherds would have been, and they would have had their sheep out in the fields, and they would have kept watch over them. Now, obviously, there's some more buildings that have arose, but imagine being on these kind of sloped hillsides, these fertile fields, laying with your sheep. See, the job of a shepherd, many of us, maybe you have a salaried position, maybe you have an hourly position, and maybe you go punch in or you work X hours a week. But the shepherds, their job was 168 hours a week. They had no breaks. Their job was to protect the sheep. It was a dirty and dangerous job, and they were exposed to all kinds of elements that could happen. And so when this angel comes and he breaks in to their life, it would have been phenomenal. It would have been crazy. See, when we think about shepherds, at least when I think about shepherds, I think of like middle America. I think of these like massive barns. I think of like thousands of acres. I think of like a nice barn, and that, you know, when the shepherds, like when the sheep go to bed, it's like, okay, here, Baba, I'm going to tuck you over here, and Lala over here, and dinner. I mean, you're going to be dinner soon. You're going to go over here. And they tuck them into this area, but that's not how it was in Israel. In Israel, the shepherds would actually bring the sheep down into caves that were in the rocks. We had an opportunity to go into one of these caves, and it was interesting at how large they were. Some of these caves even have different rooms. This is a picture where they would have eaten. One of them had kind of a table area. Past that, deeper into the cave, was a larger area, and that's where they would have brought the sheep in to sleep at night. It would have been an amazing sight for these shepherds. See, the shepherd would have slept closer to the entrance of the cave. It was his job to protect the sheep from anything that would happen. See, we've talked a lot about the sky. We've talked about the angel coming. We've talked about sheep and the difference in shepherding in Israel and here in America. But what about the shepherds? What about the people who we're talking about for this third candle for joy? What about the character of these men? See, when we think about shepherds, the interesting thing is this announcement of the birth of Christ, it comes to the shepherds first. Shepherds were not known to be men of honest reputation. Shepherds were known to be dishonest, and in Jewish culture, they were actually looked at as unclean. That's something very important in Jewish culture. A Jewish person wanted to remain clean. Let me say this. I think it'll help us understand this. We have a saying, right? We'll talk about a person. We'll be like, oh, man, she cusses like a sailor. Like, she's got a foul mouth. And back then, they used to say, he lies like a shepherd. That was how those men were known. That was their character or lack of character, if you want to say. They were filthy. They worked 168 hours. They lived with the sheep. They slept next to the sheep. They were hygienically challenged. They were culturally criticized. And a lot of these men, this was their only form of employment that they had available to them. I started thinking about what the equivalent would have been. I was like, is it like a car salesman? Because sometimes people look down on them. You know, if you're a car salesman, no offense, please. Maybe it's kind of like, you know, working for the trash company. I couldn't come up with a good equivalent. Is it like being a loan shark? I couldn't figure out what was a good connection to try to help bring this to the more modern nature. But I think the best way to say is that these were not the most highly favored people. And so when we read Luke chapter 2, and we see that an angel breaks in to our world, and he gives an announcement to people who are not wealthy, people who are not religious leaders, people who are not political leaders, people who aren't the captain of the football team, and people who aren't the most popular kid on the street. It's kind of an interesting thing that the angel comes to those who are the least significant, the least respected, and the least likely people in the community. You know what I love about this? Is that these are the people that God came to save. And God starts right with them. And he says, I'm going to go to those people who are least likely, who are least popular, who are least loved, because that's why I came. I came for those who are farthest away from me. And I'm going to start with that. And so if you notice in this text, this angel, first he comes, and I love reading the Bible, and I don't know if everyone reads it the same way I do, but when I read the Bible, I read that an angel appeared to them, and then we get this, like, four words, and they were terrified. And I kind of want to say, like, of course they were terrified, Luke. I don't know why you felt the need to write that, but you better believe they were terrified. And sometimes this is our response to God. God comes, and he wants to bring us a good message, and we respond in fear. And if you have responded in fear to God, I want to encourage you that he doesn't want you to be terrified. That's not his plan for you to be terrified. But it's the opposite. That God wants to bring you good news. He has a good message for you. And once the shepherds calm down, the angel is able to deliver this divine message. And the divine message is that a baby will be born and it's going to bring you great joy. And then he goes on to tell them that you will find this baby lying in a manger and he's going to be wrapped in cloths. Now, this sign is very important because we already talked about they're in close proximity to Bethlehem. So if they go to Bethlehem, they need to know who they're looking for. This is narrowed down the locations that they'll visit. They don't have to go to someone's home. They don't have to go to a hotel. They don't have to go to a business. They have to go to a manger. I don't know if when you were a child, you had someone in your family say this line to you, because I heard it a lot. The line was, "Were you born in a barn?" Because I am challenged with shutting the front door and bringing mud in on my shoes. Now, when I was a young child, I didn't understand the question. And so for years, I thought I was born in a barn. They asked me all the time, "Neil, were you born in a barn?" And I was kind of like, "Well, I think if you're asking me, I must have been, because you probably were there." My grandma would ask me this question all the time, and I just think it would have been so fun if Jesus came to my grandma's house and left the door open, and she said, "Jesus, were you born in a barn?" And he could have said, "Well, actually, Maria, let me tell you the story, okay?" I just think it would have been amazing, but Jesus was born in a barn. I mean, that's the Savior of the world, and that's the location that he came. And after the announcement is given, you see it down in verse 13, that suddenly a whole massive group of angels come. I think that God strategically did this. I think if he started with one angel, maybe they pooped their pants right away, maybe they were scared. But if he would have brought that whole company of angels, those guys might have had a heart attack. They might not have known what to do. And God says, "Let me ease them into this." Because they were terrified with one. And then these angels come and they sing this song. And you guys, this is a song that you and I have sung. And it's a song that puts our perspective on eternity. And it's a song that you and I sing and we think about the coming of Christ. And as we think about Christ coming, this is a song that we want to focus on. We want to focus on glory to God. We want our eyes to be fixed on him. And this morning, you might kind of feel like one of those shepherds. You might feel a little nervous. You might feel a little anxious. You might feel like, "Man, what am I doing in church this morning?" But I want to assure you, you're in the right spot. And you don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be anxious. The same thing the angel said to those shepherds, God says to you this morning, don't be afraid. It's okay. You're in the right place. I got a message for you. I have something that I want each and every single one of you to hear this morning, and it's about my son. His name's Jesus. He's going to be born in a manger. And I want to tell you about him because I want you to seek him. And that's the plan that God has for your life, is he wants you to seek him. This angel did not come to bring them fear, but as verse 10 and 11, it tells us that it was a message of great joy for all people. Not mediocre joy, not mildly joyful, not joyful when I feel like it, but a message of great joy. I mean, if we thought our choir did good this morning, and you guys, you did awesome, I wonder what this angel choir sounded like. And so now the shepherds are presented with a decision. What do they do? Will they act in obedience? In verses 15 through 20, it gives us their response. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They knew it was a divine message. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, we have another scene change here. When the angel had left them, there's a shift that's going on. And these shepherds, they decide to follow the divine message. Now, there's a word in here that I just want to kind of pick on real quick, or I want to look at real quick. And it says that the shepherds, they hurried off to Bethlehem in verse 16. So they hurried off. This isn't talking about the pace of how they walked. But it's talking that they didn't sit around. They didn't go like, well, I mean, you know, who's going to take care of the sheep? Or what about this? Or what about that? They knew that this was a God-given message. And so they hurried off. They made the decision to go and find the Messiah. And they did. And it was exactly as the angel told them. What they saw was exactly what the angel shared. As a pastor, my role is very diverse. I've got a lot of responsibilities, but I will tell you that one of my favorite things is going to the hospital and visiting babies. I mean, there's just something awesome about walking into a hospital and seeing that cute little baby, and their skin is so soft and it's so delicate. And one time I went and held twins at the hospital, and it was for my friend Mike, and I was like, wow. And he's like, do you want to pray for the babies? I was like, sure. And I was started to say, do you want to hold them? And I said, do you want to hold? And he thought me, and he put twins in my arms. And I thought, oh, wow, this is scary. But what I've learned as a pastor, when I go and do a hospital visit for babies, I stay for about 30 minutes. That's kind of the max. I feel like, nurses are coming in and out. The mom's trying to bond with the baby. And I don't really need to be there that longer. And I feel like maybe I just did what the shepherds did. I mean, these guys, they didn't stay there that long. You know, maybe it was different. Maybe if there was a bunch of ladies, they would have hung out for a couple days. But the shepherds, you know, it's like, hey, they'd seen him and then they left. They're like, all right, man, there he is. All right, let's go. And they cut out. But what they didn't do is they didn't go back to their sheep and check on him. They didn't leave and go right back to their sheep. They went and they wasted no time. And they told everybody about this baby that they had seen. They went and they shared the good news. They spread the truth that Jesus the Messiah had come to them. There's a story that's true from the Silicon Valley up in the Bay Area. And one day Steve Jobs called a guy, I believe his name is John Sculley. And John was an executive at Pepsi. And Steve Jobs called him with a job opportunity that he presented to him. And they talked about it. And I don't know how the whole story goes, but I do know there's a famous quote from that conversation. And Steve Jobs said to him, he said, do you want to sell sugar water for your entire life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world? Do you want to sell sugar water for your entire life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world? And these shepherds, they had a decision to make. Did they want to tend sheep their entire life, or do they want to follow God and change the world? And I think that you and I are presented with that same message today, that same decision. Do we want to go with God and change the world, or do we want to continue doing what we're doing? See, these shepherds, they had a choice. They could have just said, man, that was crazy. We should go to bed. Man, that was crazy. Who's going to take care of the sheep? I heard there was a lion roaming around. I heard this, or I heard that, or what about this, or what about that? But they did something that I think they never regretted doing. And it's no coincidence that the first group of people that visited Jesus in that manger was a group of dirty, despised shepherds. And that's exactly who Jesus came to save. And those were his first guests. And I think it's just God kind of giving us a glimpse of who Jesus came to save. And if you've ever felt like your life was dirty, if you've ever felt like you've been despised, if you've ever felt like you're a despicable person, you are the same person who Jesus came to save. Yesterday, we went to the memorial service for my stepdad, and it's been a very emotional last couple months for us. And while we were at that memorial service, the pastor said, he talked about how God had changed my life, and I had an opportunity to share. And he said, there's a person in our church who said, my son used to hang out with a lot of shady people, and Neil was the shadiest. And I'm like, great. But that's whose lives God came to change. God came to change a shady guy like me. And he wants to change you too. He wants to impact your life. If you have ever been looked down upon, if you've been rejected by the world's standards, Jesus came to save you. And as we think about the gospel message this Christmas season, if you have lived a life far from God, I want to tell you that let the joy of Christ fill your heart. If you have lived a life far from God, if you have lived a life where you feel despised, where you feel downcast, maybe you just feel completely, utterly worthless today. Will you let the joy of Christ fill your heart? Because it is a message of great joy. See, this morning, I think that God grabbed your heart in a new way. I think that when we talk about Scripture, when we look about what happened in our lives this week, that God is touching each and every one of you, that God is speaking truth to you. When you read Scripture, when you see God's truth, and you go, man, I want my life to reflect that. I want my life to reflect that change. And I want to encourage you to be like the shepherds, to go and share that message of great joy. I want to encourage you to hurry off and do that. Not to walk quickly, but to know in your life that there is an importance to sharing the gospel, to spreading this truth that we read about in the Gospel of Luke this morning. I have an invitation that I gave you 2 weeks ago, and you might say, Neil, you said the same thing to us 2 weeks ago. I'm going to keep saying it until we do it, okay? Is that there are people in our community who are far from God. There are people in our community who this week, they bumped up against the question of eternity. And they're wondering what they're going to do. And I want to encourage you to share this message of joy. I want to encourage you to bring one person to come here with you at Christmas Eve to share this message of truth. Just one person, that's all we're asking. Statistics tell us, and you're like, Neil, I've already heard this and I've already told you, I'm going to say it again, okay? That 82% of people would come to church if they were just invited. Now, you know what's funny is two Sundays ago when I shared that statistic with you, my daughter was not in this room with us. And that afternoon, she had a friend over and we were setting up Christmas at our home. And she looked to him, and I won't say his name, but she said, do you want to come to church with me? And he's like, yeah, sure. And she was like, okay, cool. And they just kept going. And I thought, man, if my 9-year-old can do it, I can do it. And if my 9-year-old can do it, and if a guy who was looked at in the city that he grew up in as one of the shadiest people that a mom's kid ever had as a friend, well, man, you guys probably got a better reputation than I do to tell someone about Jesus. If 82% of people would just come to church, if they were just invited, who's going to invite them? Studies tell us that only 2% of us will invite a person to church. What if 20% of us invited someone? What if 40% of us invited someone? What if 80% of us stepped out in faith and took a little card like this and had a conversation with our neighbor and said, hey, this last week was crazy. You want to come to church with me? Hey, I don't know exactly what's going on in the world. You want to come to church with me? Imagine if 100% of us invited one person who needed to let the joy of Christ fill their heart. Imagine what God could continue doing here in our city. Imagine how many lives that we could see changed for the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Americans are stressed out about Christmas. Venturans, we are stressed out about this fire. We are worried and anxious, and that is not how God wants us to live. God says, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. Come, draw near to me. Let me remind you what life is all about. And I'm going to take you on a phenomenal journey. This week, it opened our eyes. It opened my eyes. I don't know about you. But we packed some things and we thought these are irreplaceable. And when we unpacked them, we kind of thought like, this is really what we decided to take? Like, wow. But imagine if you and I started packing for a different adventure. Imagine if we started packing for the adventure called heaven. And imagine if we said that we were going to be a church who's going to heaven and we're taking as many people with us. We're taking as many people as we can pack in our car. And when our car gets full, we're going to buy a 15-passenger van. When our 15-passenger vans get full, we're going to buy a bus. And when that gets full, we're going to tell someone else to buy a bus because I can't drive two buses at the same time, okay? So, but I need to remind you that we are not here to entertain Christians. That is not what our church is about. We're here to help people find and follow Jesus. And we're going to heaven and we're taking as many people with us as we can. And we want to do this together. And we need to continue to spread this truth and this hope and this love of Jesus Christ. And we need to be like the shepherds. We need to be delivery people for God's great joy. And this week, I just want to continue to encourage you. I want to remind you to let the joy of Christ fill your heart and to stay strong in His truth. And if you feel like and you say, Neil, I'm scared, I don't know how to invite someone to church, then I would say just open your mouth. I would say have confidence in the Lord. If you say, Neil, my faith's not strong enough, the best way to strengthen your faith is to share your faith. If you say, Neil, what if they reject me? Guess what? What if they accept Jesus? See, you got to watch out for me. I'm an eternal optimist, okay? Here's the deal. I got a little realism in me, but I got a ton of optimism. And I believe that God wants to do amazing things in our community, and I believe He wants to continue doing it through this group of people. And we have this great opportunity today to bring joy to people who are scared and worried. And God says, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. I got a message of great joy. And so let's be a group of people who shares that joy. Can we pray together? Lord, we thank You so much for this morning. And we thank You for this opportunity to gather here together and to praise Your name and to place our trust in You. And Lord, to affirm our commitment to You again. Lord, we rely on You. We need You. And Lord, when things are going crazy, when it literally seems like the world is on fire, Lord, You are our rock and our hope. And Jesus, we want to confess that if we haven't focused on You this morning, we want to repent of that. We pray that You would forgive us of our sin. We pray You would cleanse our hearts. Lord, we pray that You would prepare us to share this joy. We pray that we wouldn't be terrified, but that we would stand in Your presence humbly, that we would be in a healthy fear of You, but that we wouldn't be terrified, and that we would rely on You. And God, if there's anyone here this morning and they feel like they're far from You and they want to place their trust in You this morning, Lord, if they have trusted in other things, I pray that they would choose to trust in You. And if that's you, if you want to trust in Jesus this morning for the first time ever, will you pray a prayer like this? You don't have to pray it out loud. Have a conversation between you and God. And just say, Jesus, I need You. God, I recognize that I've been living for myself. And today I want to live for You. God, I believe You sent Jesus to this world to save me. I believe that Jesus hung on a cross to pay for my sin. But most importantly, I believe He conquered the grave so I could have life in Him. And if that's you this morning, if you want to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, will you just slip your hand up high in the air so I can rejoice with you, so I can pray with you? Awesome. Great. I see you. Anyone else, you're saying, hey, I want to place my faith in Jesus Christ. Okay. Wonderful. Jesus, we thank You for what You're doing here. We thank You for Your joy. We thank You for Your power. And Lord, we pray that Your joy would fill our hearts this Christmas season. We pray in Jesus' name.